Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. Don, you're sitting loud and proud next
to me. I'm here.
There's somebody in the chair. Ava.
It's so nice to see that.
I know. It actually is.
Takes a lot of pressure off of me, Don.
Yeah. Does he ask you questions?
Hey, we got a lot of fun stuff coming up today. We got a couple stories coming out of kind of a weird backlash, Don, talking about an anti-hunter campaign in Florida that you'll love the results. You guys got to hear this. It's pretty crazy. We're also going to talk about duck numbers and what positive or negative is going to be coming out in the forecast for ducks for the coming season. You're going to want to listen to that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you guys.
Good to be seen.
Ava?
It's always good to be here.
I think you were deep in thought for a second.
What a blessing. I was just wondering if you're going to talk to me since he's here.
Well, what?
It's okay. You don't have to talk to me.
Well, that's true. I don't.
She's looking for the day off. Don't you get it?
Dude. No, I don't. We always work extremely well
we
together
do.
On air. Yeah.
We do.
We get things done. I mean, it's like chop, chop. Funny part is it doesn't matter because the show is the same length no matter what.
For you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Not for us.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, there is that. So, Don.
Yes.
You been out fishing at all?
You know I haven't, man.
The listeners don't. Go with me on this, would you?
Yeah, well, you asked the question.
Okay,
I have not been
I'm going to start this over. Hey, Don, have you been out fishing much?
I have not.
Wow, that's too bad.
It is too bad.
I know.
I'm going to try to take advantage of it.
You're going to go fishing? Forward. Are you going fishing sometime soon?
I'm hoping to, yes.
See, now I knew what the answer was.
Yeah isn't that like
but
a
I,
week I or so away?
I pretended that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because it's for the show.
Okay.
So, where are you going to go?
I'm going to dip in the crappie waters of Central Lake of the Woods, the Canadian side.
Nice. I know you've done that before up there.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Hoping to find some of those big slab crappies.
I am actually going to be doing the same thing, I think, in a couple weeks. I'm going up to the woods, but I'm going for the big dog walleyes.
Okay.
And whatever else it can catch. We got some big pike up there, but I am also going to be going up. We're going to get probably, I think, four guys. Usually we go up in fall. We had a little change of plans with some schedule some guys had that was conflicting, so... Yeah.
Are you going up to Oak Island area?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to take the long trek across that?
Always do.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck.
We always put your life jacket on. We always go up there. We always make the trek out and make the trek back. Sometimes it's more pleasurable than others.
Yeah, well.
I don't know if I shared this with you, but last fall we went up there and a friend of ours said, hey, come on. You know, we've been up there for years. And it's funny because my old Ranger boats were there. There was three of my past Ranger boats and one Vexus that then went the new Vexus. And one of the guys is like, well, I've got a a smaller boat, it was a 17 and a half. Now, I didn't hear about that until already he's up there. And we're going across the lake, and it was not bad getting out to that spot. But guess what?
Had a little wind coming back.
We decided to go back, and the person's never driven in rough water, and the wind was blowing 25 out of the northwest.
Ben, I've been there when 40, though.
Well, where we
it's
went.
Scary.
Yeah. It was steady 25. The gusts, I don't know what the gusts were. The waves were probably sixes.
Yeah.
And I.
That's pretty heavy in a 17 and a half.
I asked the guy, I said, are you comfortable driving in these conditions? He goes, no. Said, okay, so I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but I've done this many, many, many times in various sized boats. Would you like me to drive? Oh, thank you. I thought you'd never ask. I turned the bilge pump on and left the bilge pump run. I'm not saying what brand of boat it was. It wasn't anything that I have run in the past. I've worked with the company before, but I had water in my shoes. Never thought I would get water in the shoes to not go out of my shoes. There was the whole jacket because the water, we had a top up, full windshield. The water was coming in the side so much so that everything, I was soaked from water coming over into the boat. Just left the bilge pump on and let it run. Had a 140 on it, and it was not a pleasant thing.
No, it's very...
And the
especially
gentleman,
if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, and the gentleman that went with me, he was, I'll just say, terrified.
You'd probably been better off putting him in one of the other boats. And
yeah, I needed the balance, though. I needed to have that weight on that other side because the water was coming
out
of quartering.
It's called luggage, not
a human. Quartering on starboard. Yeah, it was not good.
Put some luggage over there instead of a human.
Yeah, but yeah, it was something. But yeah, the woods can be, it can giveth and it can taketh away.
Yeah, well, it's you need to respect it. I can tell you that. I was out there in 40 mile an hour, and I was in a 32-foot Sea Ray.
I remember you talking about that.
I mean, the only thing we almost lost was one of our guys out the back.
I know.
And that there was no chance. And plus, it was night, which is even
all the factors that I really don't care for.
Yeah.
Fishing at night, I mean, obviously, when you head out in the morning, it's, you know, 4:30 in the morning, it's dark. And if you've got a heavy-duty wind and you're rocking and rolling coming out and you're using FLIR, radar, both, if you're not familiar with FLIR, it's a forward-looking infrared radar. So it literally lights up boats like it's daylight. But still, that is a very unconcerning feeling. Inconcerting? Unconcerting? Anyway.
It's a very concerning?
It's not a comfortable experience. Just in that, and you know where you're going to be at. So challenges are there. And, of course, with the fall coming, it's always questionable what you're
going to
get.
Well, I'm not going to be a heroine. We're going to be going out by boat about 14 miles, but we got a lot of islands to
which is
move
protecting.
In and around.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. Well, tell you what, stay tuned, guys. We have more Valley Outdoors coming right up. We're going to talk a little bit about that anti-hunter campaign that I think is going to have a different outcome than I think most of us would have thought originally. So stay tuned for Valley Outdoors. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging in with us. We, as always, like to have you guys check us out in all the places that we have stuff. I mean, in the ether. Don, where are we going to look to find something we have out there?
Well, of course, online, thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And
get the most information.
And Facebook, like us, please.
Yes.
It's always a good place to go. Especially interactive-wise, you're going to be able to find the seasons, what hunting seasons are out there, when the fishing is open, closed, or otherwise. And yeah, it's good. It's an amazing site. I believe they also, the DNR often puts on fall color status as well.
For your area, cool. Yes.
Yeah, for the area that you're looking at. So
or whatever state.
Whatever, yeah. If you want to go to Wisconsin and, hey, let's check the colors out Wisconsin, or you want to go to Michigan, or you want to go wherever. So
yep,
kind of cool stuff. One thing I was going to talk about in the top of the hour, we get jibber-jabbering about other fun stuff like Lake of the Woods fishing. You know, this whole summer, we've had a lot of rain. We've had a lot of rain. And the impact that we've had on river systems has been to keep the water levels up. They regulate it. The Corps regulates it, obviously, significantly. But they're doing the dredging. They're doing a lot of that. It's going well. It's nearing, second stage completion, which is kind of cool. But the thing that I think is a lot of people don't know when they come to they go to a river. And usually the fall, as you and I know, the fall river systems, it's amazing. I mean, it turns the fishery into craziness. It's so much fun to fish in fall. I love it. Spring and fall, it's just amazing. And you don't have to troll for them. You can pull rigs if you want to. But you can vertical jig for them. You can use blade baits. You can whatever you want to use, you can use it. And it is just a blast. And when it comes to that side of it right now, like I said, the water has been pretty much up or staying up in that level of 7 foot. It's down to 3.5. It has been crashing hard. And what was unique and I thought was kind of strange is where the fish are being located. And normally when the water dumps, the fish pull out of the backwaters. Surprisingly enough, there's still fish hanging and significant numbers of fish hanging in those backwater areas. You know one of the baits they're using to get them?
I don't.
Beetle spins.
Oh, really?
They're catching a lot of walleyes doing beetle spins. They're also on the main leg points. They're using jigging wraps. The problem, though, is this, Don. And last night we went out, and Wednesday night. I lose track of my days. And we were on a made lake point that my buddy was out fishing, caught a ton of fish. We went there. Do you think we could pull a fish with three of us fishing? And we all know how to run jigging wraps and ripping wraps.
Right.
Not one. So we go to a wing dam, try to pull fish off the wing dam. Finally, we get a sheephead. We get a walleye. Then we got another about a 21-inch walleye, and then it stopped, and that was it. So really what it comes down to is making milk runs and making sure you incorporate backwater areas with main lake points where these fish are going to be moving or coming to hang out, and they can transition up and back off these breaks. And that was the problem. We started, and we wanted to go to a different area. We did. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to. So even best laid plans of people that know the river, when you have your options, set up your plan ahead of time so you can do the milk runs that are going to incorporate a lot of different areas, and it will make for a much more successful time in the water.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
When's the last time you threw a beetle spin for walleye? Not counting whatever happened recently.
I would say the beginning of the year I actually did.
Really?
Yeah. And the
I don't
reason,
even know if I own one.
Yeah, the reason I did was we were fishing for smallmouth and we
were putting
white beetle spin.
Yeah.
And they like the white grubs, mm-hmm. and it really helped put vibration into the water, and it also slows the jig drop. So you can swim it back rather than jig it back. And that was what was the ticket. It put a vibration in and attracted the fish. Hmm. And because you know me, I'm the black hair jig is what I live on and fish almost exclusively.
Right.
And yeah, it was.
I can't say I've ever heard of anybody using a beetle spin to, you know, to attack walleye.
It's kind of
to locate walleye.
It's kind of a little known deal. Huh. It works great in the weeds, the reeds.
Yeah, that
would make
sense.
You don't get hung up, and yeah,
they're pretty lightweight.
Well, you can get an eighth ounce. Yeah, I think there's quarter as well.
You can get a little bit bigger one, but
really?
I'm not positive. I know I've got 8th. And that's, it can be a challenge if it's windy. That's the only problem. So,
right.
But, yeah. So it's kind of
interesting.
The river's crashing, but again, remember, fall is here and it's going to be a blast. Vertical jigging. And one comment about that, Don, we'll talk about another time, but you guys, success in vertical jigging is all boat control. As long as you can keep your line vertical, your success rate will be exponential. Had some guys go out in the river. We went out fishing a week prior. And then they said, oh, we're going to go out. He said, well, I can't go out with you. I got to wait. He said, okay, no problem. We'll pick you up whenever. Well, I get this phone call. Hey, we've been out here 4 hours. We haven't caught a thing. How soon are you available to come out? I said, well, give me 20 minutes. I'll meet you at the ramp. Picked me up 20 minutes later. We're up fishing on the river with 4 guys in the boat. I'm the 5th one. I'm running the boat. First pass, we had 6. And the guys were looking at me funny, like sideways. And I said, you guys, let me ask you this. Were your lines vertical when you were fishing with Mike earlier?
Were you in the current?
Yeah,
okay.
In the current.
Yeah.
And they all looked at each other and said, no.
Yeah.
Are your lines vertical now? Yup. And then somebody set the hook. It was almost perfect. So realize, if you're not having success, and the vertical jigging thing can be so much better than anchoring up and just doing a blade bait, because you're actually able to find the fish and modify your troll to figure, or your drift, I should say, to find out where those fish are. And you just keep refining it. That's all it is to it. You refine it in the break and the break further out, further out.
Well, that's what's so unique about river fishing, is because there's so many variables compared to where I'm going here, or you, and you are in Lake of the Woods. The water's not moving unless there's a wind. But it's a lake environment is totally different than a river environment.
It leaves that fourth dimension.
Well, the levels fluctuate, the speed of the current fluctuates. There's so many variables. So
I find it
actually tougher to fish the river.
Oh, it is. People are very intimidated. You know, yep. When we had tournaments, I was so happy because I knew that it was going to eliminate half the field because they didn't know what to do other than troll.
Right.
And it makes me happy. And if I'm in a tournament and I can eliminate half the field, if it's bad weather, that's one thing. We talked with Tom Wynn last week. You know, if you think about the weather, everybody else is going to get psyched out. You just keep at it, and you're going to make it happen. So pretty cool stuff. Well, Don, as much promised that I've set it up a couple times and talking about it before the show started, there is an anti-hunter campaign to ruin a Florida bear hunt, and it might backfire. Anti-hunting organizations launched a campaign to ruin the Florida black bear hunt by flooding the lottery with entries in hope of winning a permit and sitting out the hunt. But state officials tell Mediator, this is one of our favorite websites, that their efforts may well backfire if this year's harvest goals aren't met. Bear hunting opportunities may increase in future years. So, if they buy all of the lottery tickets, as many as they possibly can, and they do win one, and they sit out, that would mean, well, next year they didn't fulfill the needed take rate.
They'll put more in. They'll increase the
tags. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, they decided to hold that hunt, first time since 2015. There's 187 permits available, and would-be hunters or non-hunters can enter to win one of the permits by a $5 lottery ticket. Now, under the approved bear hunt rules, the permits will be issued through the lottery. Keep the permits in this particular case, the Sierra Club chapter, they say their goal is to keep the permits out of hunters' hands and, quote-unquote, let's buy them up and protect Florida bears, they said on their website. They said they're not anti-hunting but believe black bear hunting population is too vulnerable to survive the hunt. Of course, if you talk to the wildlife biologists, they disagree, and the black bear population has increased by 50% from 2002 to 2015, and there's a total of about 4,000 bears today and they've expanded their operating range from, or occupied range, from 17 to 51% of the Florida since 1992. They said they had the same kind of thing going on with this anti-hunting thing in the alligator hunting lottery that they had. And it's my opinion, coming from the Florida folks, Game and Fish, is that their hunters are interested in putting in for a Florida permit. They should not be concerned about anti-hunting community efforts to flood the lottery, he said. Honestly, having anti-hunters paying into conservation through entering the lottery is a win-win.
I was going to say, this is sound like a heck of a deal.
No, it is. They actually are paying into conservation, and if they're somewhat successful in their plan to obtain bear tags, then the allocation will just be adjusted to next year if there's a bunch of tags left unfulfilled. They would, in turn, at that point, create more opportunities for future years. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. This is great. Residents and non-residents can purchase the $5 ticket, but they must also have a valid hunting license. Residents will also have to pay $100, and non-residents will have to pay $300 to claim their permit. If they don't, the permit goes on to the next selected applicant. The antis can buy as many $5 chances as they like, but they'll actually have the result being the successful draw. No, it won't result in a successful draw. Not likely. And at least they're paying into conservation of the resource. And they don't have any idea right now of how many of the Sierra Club people or the anti-hunting organizations have purchased anything. But they said that the campaign doesn't indicate that the number is enormous. And they had posted something, and he said the most engagement only generated 92 comments, and mostly people debating the merits of the hunt. Commentators on other posts claim to have purchased 20 to 40 entries. Hard to imagine that it will tip the scales in the state with an estimated 217,000 hunters. Bear permit applications opened at 10 a.m., on September 12th and can be submitted through September 22nd. So
they might win two or three tags and throw a lot of support into conservation.
I think it's, you know what? I'm totally good with that.
Yeah. Have at it.
Pour it on. Let's put more money into the resource, no matter how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to contribute, please feel free to.
Yeah.
Oh, Don, it's a strange world we live in. Jumping on to duck numbers, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service shows the duck numbers are holding steady despite dry conditions, which is a great thing. The status report indicated that numbers were unchanged from a year ago across the traditional survey areas. And the surveys are estimated both with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Canadian Wildlife Services at the same point. And mallards looks like the same. Plus 8 with gadwall, plus 8% with widgeon, 15% down with teal. So, yeah, there's a lot of different variances, but it looks to be nearly...
On the positive side.
Yeah.
That's good.
Exactly. So... in my opinion, waterfowl
hunters would be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good news for those guys, as we want to make sure that's the case, even though it's dry.
Right.
So, Don.
Yes.
Turkey hunter.
Okay.
You going?
Not in fall. I will spring.
I know. I'm just going to have you warmed up here.
Okay.
Okay.
I plan on it, yes.
Okay. Why you're not killing more turkeys? Got some tips for you.
Okay.
You haven't developed patience.
Where is this written from?
I'm just, hey, just don't question my sources here.
I
can't reveal my sources. So, patience is a point that gets overstated and oversimplified, but it's true. Turkey and in hunting in general requires patience. We know that that is the case, but most fail to practice it. Am I right?
Yeah, that's the fun of it.
But timing is more important than anything, obviously. We're looking at that, so that's a piece to it. Second thing, you're not hunting the right turkeys. Don't spin your wheels on a bird that's unhuntable, whether it's henned up with a flock or in the wrong property, just not willing to return a call and react to calls. It's not worth trying to make that bird do what you want, right?
I've never tried that.
So don't waste the time on it. Try to find willing birds. If you have limited time, need to troll for the long beards. Try and hit as many spots as you can. Milk run. Sounds like fishing.
Well, that's if you're, yeah, that's if you're trying to track them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Find out where they're roosting and get out there in the morning and wait for them.
I just set up in that area and try to see if I can talk to them.
See, Don, we had a conversation off air.
He's just lucky.
He's not willing to
wait. Shows up, sits
down.
The
patience, number one. He's like, oh, there's three birds. I'm going to pick one and shoot it. And it's like 8 minutes into the season, he's done.
Well.
Last but not least.
I wouldn't be complaining either.
Okay, here, you're not hunting the right spots. That's pretty simple, straightforward. We talked about that. And last but not least, you don't spend enough time in the woods. And I rest my case, Don. You're only spending 8 minutes in the woods to get a turkey. That's not enough time to make that happen.
I'll probably sit up there longer now. I'll have a camera, too.
See?
Unless the same thing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 minutes in, he's just like, oh, there's one. I'm done. It's all good, but it also is good that we certainly hope you guys have a good time, a great time in the woods and or the water, wherever you may be this weekend. That is a wrap for us, for Don, Ava, and myself. I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. And, of course, as always, be safe out there and have a good time. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.